Good morning. This morning's scripture is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 44 through 46. It's entitled, The Parables of the Hidden Treasure and the Pearl. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. This is the reading for this morning.
In 1905, there was a baseball game played in Salt Lake City. A team called the Rhyolites were playing against a team called the Beatties. And the Beatties were up at bat. Pitcher threw the ball, the batter swung, and the ball rocketed towards first base. William Griffiths, the first baseman, saw the ball coming his way. Then he watched in amazement as he saw the ball hit a small stone and then bounce right up into his glove because he didn't think he was going to make the play. And then he beat the runner easily to first base to tag him out. The little stone had given Griffiths a lucky break. But he decided it had no business on the playing field. So he walked over and he picked it up. He raised his hand to throw it off the field when something caught his eye. He took a careful look at the stone and recognized it was no ordinary stone. He saw a glimmer of gold in this rock. He quietly slipped it in his pocket and went on with the ball game. That evening, he returned to the ball field with a lantern, and he spent an hour scratching around in the dirt, gathering rocks. And then he took it and had them assayed the next morning and found out they were worth about $900 a ton. He called two of his friends, and they quietly got their money together, pulled it together, and bought that ball field. This is beginning to sound like one of Jesus' parables, isn't it? The mine was called First Base. And the first shaft struck ore at a depth of only 33 feet. He became a very, very wealthy man. Jesus once said, the kingdom of heaven is like that stone that changed the life of William Griffith. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then his joy went and sold it and bought that field. Who doesn't like a treasure hunt? A couple who recently walking around, uncovered $10 million in coins. What a treasure to find. People in our church property all the time with their finders looking for hidden treasures. Who hasn't dreamed of finding a buried treasure, even as a small child hunting for that treasure? And who hasn't dreamed of winning the lottery? Las Vegas and Atlantic City are filled with dreamers searching for the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, and so is Wall Street. This is one of Jesus' parables that we can relate to, because human nature has not changed very much since the very beginning. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. Obviously, Jesus is saying that the kingdom of heaven is a great prize. Earthly treasures certainly are. And why are they? Because of the improvement that treasures and money can bring to human lives. Have you heard of the Mount Morgan gold mine in Queensland, Australia? It's one of the richest gold mines in the world. Yet for many years, the people who lived on that land lived in abject poverty, deep, deep poverty. The earth beneath their feet contained vast wealth, but it was out of sight, and they did not know that it was there. They did not know what lay underneath the ground. When they discovered what was beneath their feet, it changed their lives tremendously. In the same way, the kingdom of God can transform our lives if we will only allow it to do so. Of course, earthly treasure doesn't always improve one's life. Ask most lottery winners if it really improved their lives. Evidence is that it has not improved the majority of people's lives. Some report that winning the lottery was the worst thing that ever happened to them. People think to themselves, if I could just strike it rich, all my problems would be over. And generally, that's untrue. But why is it untrue? Because happiness doesn't come from outer circumstances. Happiness comes from an inner assurance. If you're not happy with $1,000 in the bank, you're probably not going to be happy with $1,000,000 in the bank, because you need two and then three. As someone has said, happiness is an inside job. When Oprah Diva Beverly Sills was asked if she is happy, she replied that in view of the tragedies that have happened in her life, she couldn't say that she was happy, but she said, I am cheerful. Her tragedies include one of her children being deaf and the other mentally challenged. Commenting on Sills' statement about being cheerful, Dr. Brickley says that most people know how to be cheerful. However, few people know how to be happy. Think about that for a moment. Most people know how to be cheerful, but very few people know how to be happy. Cheerful is a mood that is light, free, open. Often the pitch of your voice goes up, you're happy, and you feel good. Cheerful is something that most people can obtain in their life. However, notes Brickley, most people, when they try to be happy, are usually miserably disappointed. That's because happiness is a byproduct of living with a sense of purpose, perspective, and appreciation. When people try to be happy, they usually seek out some type of activity that will make them happy, something like going to an amusement park. Oh, that's wonderful. That'll be exciting. That will make me happy. However, after enjoying such pleasures, they typically are left with a feeling of what's next? Isn't there more? Is this all that there is? Being cheerful is literally as easy as whistling a happy tune. You can choose to be cheerful, but not so much with happiness. You really can't choose it. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. You really can only open yourself up to happiness. Happiness is yielding control of your life to God if you want true happiness. The most miserable people to me are those who do not have a relationship with God, and then those who have a relationship with God but do not walk with God. Sometimes we're puzzled when we read Jesus' parables about the kingdom of God. Remember, the kingdom of God means allowing God not just to be around you, but to be in you and to rule over your life. When you open yourself to God and ask God to take charge of your life and allow God to make changes, whatever changes in your life that need to be changed, in order for you to be all that you can be, all that God has created you to be, then you discover that sense of purpose, perspective, and appreciation that is the essence of happiness. The problem is we fight the will of God because we think we know what is best for us. No, God, that's not best. That's not what I want to do. So we go off on our own way, our own tangents. Norman Zimmer was a popular singer with the Lawrence Welk Orchestra. Some of you remember that. Norma had a difficult childhood as a result of her parents drinking, alcoholics. Singing was her escape, and as a high school senior, Norma was invited to be a featured soloist at the University Christian Church in Seattle, Washington. When her parents heard that she was going to sing a particular song, they decided that they would go. They insisted on attending the service. She tells about that service. She said, I stole glances at the congregation, trying to see where my parents were. Then in horror, I saw them weaving down the aisle in a state of intoxication, barely able to walk. They were late. Few seats were left. The congregation stared. I do not know how I made it through that morning. After she sang and took her seat, she said her heart was pounding and her cheeks were burning from embarrassment. And the pastor preached on the verse from the Psalms, Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Norma said, my own troubles seemed to bear down on me with a tremendous weight. And I realized how desperate life in our family was without God being at the center of our family relationships. And that day, I recommitted my life to Him. Jesus came into my life not only as my Savior, but for my daily strength and my daily guidance. See, so many people accept Christ and then they just kind of put Him over here. Okay, I'm going to heaven. Now just leave me alone until it's time to die. Don't bother me. So many people are trying to live without God. And many give us the illusion that all is going well in their life. Many are quite cheerful as long as their life is going their way, the way that they want it to go, the way that they have it planned or mapped out. But ultimately, there, I don't think, is any real joy, no lasting happiness without God at the center of your life and your relationships. Trusting God and giving God control of your life is the key to victory in every situation in life. It doesn't mean that everything in life will always turn out the way that you want it to, because it will not. But being in control of your life, giving control of your life to God, instead of you being in the ultimate control, will give you strength to find meaning for every situation, whether difficult or pleasurable. A shipwrecked sailor was thrown onto a rock where he clung to great danger until the tide went down. Later, a friend asked him, Jim, didn't you fear when you were hanging on that rock? He said, yes, I feared greatly, but the rock did not shake. Trusting God and giving God control of your life is the rock on which we build a joy-filled life. Jesus Christ is the rock of our salvation, the one to whom we should look for strength and sustenance. There is no treasure in this world comparable to knowing that. Whatever life may send you, you are in God's hands because you are a child of God. But there's a responsibility on your part to listen to God, to go with God, to pray, to read your Bibles. Maybe you know the story of a young black girl from Birmingham, Alabama, who was determined to be a concert pianist and a figure skater. Quite an ambitious thing. This was in the 1960s when Birmingham was not exactly conducive to such dreams for an African-American child. Her parents, who themselves had dreams for her and hopes and expectations, named her with an Italian musical term that means to play with sweetness. Sweetness discovered at a young age the cruel legacy of racism. As a young lady, she was not allowed to use the dressing room of a local department store. It was labeled whites only. Her family attempted to eat at a restaurant after the Civil Rights Act was passed in 1964, and they were greeted with silence and stares. Some people would have become bitter. But not sweetness. It was only made her more determined to succeed. It was her faith in God that made the difference. She trusted God. She said she approached each setback, each insult, each failure as part of a powerful script that God had written in her life. She didn't make it as a professional figure skater. She didn't make it as a concert pianist. God had something else planned for her. On September the 11th, 2001, a voice on the telephone informed President George W. Bush that the United States of America was under attack. It was the voice of a woman who at the time may have been the most powerful woman in the United States. And she informed the president of the attack. She implemented emergency procedures to protect the president and all his staff, give them the safety. She also assured the leaders of the world that the United States government was still up and it was running. It was the voice of a young lady from Alabama whose name in Italian literally means to play with sweetness. You and I know her as Condoleezza Rice, former Secretary of State of the United States, still one of the most respected women in our nation. She credits her parents, of course, but more than anything else, she credits her faith in God. Truly, that faith has been such a treasure surpassing the value of anything else in this life. Christ offers us the same treasure today. The kingdom of God at work in each and every one of our lives. Not just every once in a while, but on a daily basis. God within us. God beside us. God giving us strength to face and to live each and every day, regardless of the obstacles and the difficulties that life will throw at us. The treasures worth selling everything else in this life in order to obtain it. But the beauty of it is that it doesn't cost you anything. It is a free gift. All you have to do is open yourself to God's gift, to God's kingdom, and allow it to be a part of your life and to take over. Let God in. Let God all the way in. May God bless you. Amen.